When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture. Luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, human trafficking of children and young people is a major concern, yet there is limited research on the lived experiences of those affected, and even less on their post-trafficking aspirations, strengths and capabilities. Well, the book of our next two guests hopes to change that. Welcome to the show, Patricia Hines and Anna Skeels.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was shocked, actually, because I was reading that it says human trafficking and exploitation should be seen as child abuse rather than viewed as an immigration criminal justice. Is it not viewed as child abuse then?
It tends not to be. I think that's the optimum idea, is that it's viewed as child abuse. But that premise is not always available within practice and within policy. And children tend to be viewed more through immigration or criminal justice lenses rather than through child protection frameworks in the UK.
Right. Okay. Now, Patricia, I know that you're Professor of Social Justice. Anna, you're a research fellow in the social science research. So have you done studies with young people who have been affected by human trafficking?
The book details two different studies that myself and others conducted between 2019 and 2022, and then Anna's study followed on from that. And so we've both done studies with young people, which were very participatory in nature. Sorry, Anna, you go.
No, that's fine. Shall I tell you a bit more about mine, Selena?
Yes, please.
So mine was quite focused. So I did research with Hannah Stott from Safe to Grow and Katie Huxley, who's also based at the Social Science Research Part. And we were looking at what's called the Independent Child Trafficking Guardianship Service. So it's a service that is in place. It has a sort of statutory remit in England and Wales. And it's currently run by Barnardo's, the big children's charity. And the idea is that children and young people are given support by independent guardians. So they're there to make sure that they focus on the best interests of those children and young people, that they support them in terms of their recovery from human trafficking, and they connect them into different areas of sort of services and meeting their rights. So we were doing research with young people who were supported by that service to find out what were the most important outcomes for them and their lives.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, it's obviously centered around children's rights, and they should have rights. But it sounds different to other studies because you based it on their thoughts, haven't you, and not just what the adults think.
Yeah, we did. And maybe Patricia can speak to that a bit, because her study is really about trying to introduce a new framework that's very child focused and focused on young survivors. Because otherwise, what we find is that when we talk about outcomes for these children and young people, you know, people tend to focus more on the sort of administrative outcomes or the outcomes that are just related to their experiences of trafficking. And obviously that's part of the story and a very big part of the story. But like all other children and young people, you know, they have aspirations for their future and things that they want to achieve in terms of themselves in their community, their longer term kind of, their future lives, really.
Yeah. Patricia?
And Yes, sure. Just to say, the study that we did was with together with ECPAT UK and the University of Bedfordshire, together with Laura Duran, Helen Connolly and Elias Matar and Patricia Durr in those organisations. We spoke and worked with, over a period of time, 31 young people across England and Scotland. And what they told us was that they did face quite systemic barriers and structural barriers in their daily lives because of their, on occasions, their immigration status or their papers or the part of the process they were in the criminal justice process, for example. And they did sort of recount how they felt discriminated against within those structures. So one young person, for example, said, you know, I went to the manager of the social workers and he told me, why don't you go back to your country? That was one of our most extreme examples. But there was, you know, there was that thread running through quite a lot of the discussions with young people. Mm. And as Anna mentioned, there was very little focus on any type of outcomes beyond administrative. No real focus on positive outcomes after they been through the process of exploitation, then coming out the other end. But because I think maybe young people are of, you know, very sort of hopeful and aspirational, we did actually speak to them about their hopes and dreams, etc. Or they wanted to speak about their hopes and dreams and aspirations. And it was a participatory study, and you never really know what you're going to get at the end of a participatory study. But we came out at the end with a whole list of things that young people had told us they wanted to see in their lives to make their lives better in the future and more positive. So we developed this positive outcomes framework, which Anna then used in her study to focus on a service evaluation of independent child trafficking advocates. And the types of outcomes they wanted was, they wanted to be safe. I am safe. I feel safe. I can have hopes and dreams. I can access education. You know, they're very, very basic needs, essentially. But the young people we were speaking to didn't feel they had them.
But did they? I mean, it's modern slavery. We call it human trafficking. It's modern slavery at the end of the day. Did any of them want to go home, or did they say, no, we were happy to stay, but we want to have chances in life?
Well, of the people that we spoke to, it didn't really come up. The idea that they'd arrived in the UK, been through these sort of really long, protracted processes of, you know, like the immigration. I spoke to one young person who'd been going through immigration processes for 8 years and hadn't had an outcome. That's not unusual. And I think after all of that, they'd kind of become more or less a part of the UK. And the idea that they would then want to return back to a country in which they didn't feel safe really didn't come up. But they wanted safety. Safety was the key to all this. That was the sort of foundation stone that they were looking for.
Yeah. And you mentioned Laura Duran. She's the third author. She can't make it today, but she's written the book with you ladies.
Yes. Yes, and she works for ECPAT UK, which stands for Every Child Protected Against Trafficking. It's an international network, but they also have a UK office.
And is this, I mean, it's shocking, but is this big business, because I suppose it is business, in the UK, and is it growing?
Well, if you look at the figures for 2024, for the whole of 2024, the number of people referred into a national referral mechanism, which the UK has as its sort of centre of statistical collection and onward delivery of services, we had just over 17,000 19,000, that was the year before 17, 19,000 total referrals during just 2024, which was 13% up from the previous year. And of those, the children came in just under 6,000 children. So that's children from the UK, that's children from a range of other countries such as Vietnam, Sudan, Eritrea. So it's really sort of, you know, quite alarming that there's around 6,000 children a year being referred into this mechanism, and they are only the people who are identified as trafficked.
Yes, that's the problem. There's many we don't know about, yeah. I guess. And Anna, yeah. What's the answer? I mean, do you hope that your book will help guide policymakers, you know, or local authorities, practitioners, etc.?
Yeah, definitely. So, and it is. So obviously, we've both done these different pieces of research, but we're very committed to research that makes a difference in terms of policy and practice. So, one of the sort of strong messages coming out from both our studies was that these independent guardians really made a difference to those children, young people that we talked to who'd been supported by them, and that, you know, these were often really key sort of trusted adults for them, in some cases the only trusted adult that they had in their lives, and sort of connected them up to services, you know, helped them to access their rights, just very important for their recovery. So that's a key message, I guess, that goes back to Barnardo's, who runs this service for children and people, but also to the Home Office, the UK government, to local authorities, that really this is something that we need to be sustained and sort of further rolled out. So it's across England and Wales in full. And there are equivalents in Scotland and Northern Ireland. There's a recent piece of research on Northern Ireland as well. That's quite key for us. But, you know, there are other sort of messages like around, this positive outcomes framework that Patricia's developed, and trying to get away from these very sort of dark sort of images, whether that's visual images or kind of written pieces about these children, young people, because obviously they have had very tragic and damaging experiences and their protection needs have not been met. But as you said, our focus is to look forward with them, to listen to them about what they want for their futures. And we're trying to kind of shift the narrative towards that, really. And that includes in policy and practice.
And do they have access to psychologists and counsellors to help them with what they've been through?
So part of with the ICTIG service, the independent guardians would provide, I guess, a sort of fundamental level of attention to their well-being and their, you know, their ability to access different opportunities and different activities. So, you know, just thinking generally about the kind of day-to-day, but then they'd also be connected up to appropriate mental health services as well, depending on, you know, the degree of trauma that they've experienced and what their different needs are. So those things would kind of run in parallel.
And Patricia, I suppose it's got become easier for these human traffickers because of the technology we've got now. They can lure children in and young people with social media.
I think it's really interesting, and social media is definitely a part of that we know very little about, actually, what happens in terms of social media and recruitment. I think the facilitation of trafficking depends on unregulated spaces. So I think, you know, the more that we can do to sort of tighten up those spaces, the better, especially online issues around exploitation. But I think exploitation more generally, we need to understand it better in terms of children. I think there's been a lot of focus on adults, and the children coming with adults as dependents have really not been understood very well. British children, the issues around British children are not understood very well. And I think there just needs to be a lot more and richer and deeper understanding about why this happens in the first place, looking upstream, and then what we can do about it once we know the situations.
And why is it? Am I right that it's a business? Why are these people trafficked?
Sometimes it's a business. Sometimes it can be more ad hoc and sort of opportunistic, that children, you know, move into sort of the cracks of that happen within disruption in their lives. Sometimes children are targeted, but quite often it's based on children's parents sending their children out of love, thinking they will have a better place and a better access to education and better access to services and just a better life. But then it goes wrong in the process.
Yeah.
So
I guess that's the problem, because the parents have consented, haven't they? And then when they get there, and it's not, they were actually coerced or manipulated into it. But I suppose, what does the UN think? That they consented to coming over, or their parents did?
Well, sometimes they've consented, but sometimes they haven't.
Right.
And sometimes they may even be a part of that. So it's, you know, it's a really complicated area. And I guess the UN, there's a couple of special rapporteurs who work directly on this within the UN, and they put their reports before the council each year. And I think Anna was also going to say something about that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like you said, Patricia, like sometimes it is about consent, but, you know, when we've got unaccompanied, what we call unaccompanied, separated children and people coming to the UK, you know, as in lots of things we're seeing around the world, that can be because they're separated from their families or their primary caregivers because of conflict or because of other kinds of disasters. So it's not, as Patricia said, it's not always a case that there's been kind of consent to that, and then they because they don't have that sort of primary caregiver or parents who are, you know, invested in their protection, they are more vulnerable. And then situations in the UK can make that worse. So you may remember there was discussion around children, young people being maybe had the wrong sort of age identification and being put in Home Office hotels, adult hotels. And so again, you know, things like that can increase the sort of vulnerability of those children, young people to human trafficking.
Yeah. These poor children are vulnerable, full stop, aren't they? They're children at the end of the day, or young adults.
I think that's what we're trying to say, really, in the book, that, you know, that sort of child focus. So when we talk about children, we essentially mean under the age of 18, and sort of trying not to detract from that. So, you know, if we talk about something like, you know, county lines and children, young people involved in the movement of drugs, you know, obviously that is a criminal activity. It's an organised criminal activity, but those children, young people they can't consent to their own exploitation. You know, they're involved in that, but they need to be considered as children, not as criminals. And it is complex, but we're trying to say children first, really, have that lens first and think about this as abuse and think about, you know, what they're experiencing, but also then trying to link them to that view of children, young people as a whole, like we said, who have aspirations and hopes and dreams and things that they like doing, and just trying to kind of get that more kind of positive focus on their futures. Because if we don't talk about that, then it means that there aren't opportunities for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there certainly needs to be change, and well done for sort of highlighting this, and hopefully the book will help. If our listeners want to buy it, it's called Human Trafficking of Children and Young People, A Framework for Creative, Stable and Positive Futures. It's by Laura Duran, who sadly can't be with us, but Patricia Hines and Anna Skeels are here now, and they are two of the other authors. As I say, keep up the good work. Thank you for telling us a little about it, and great to meet you both.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a lovely day. Bye bye.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement: soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.